You are listening to an edited version of Get Radio's Business Brunch, which airs every Sunday at 11 a.m. on DAB Digital Radio across Oxfordshire and online at getradio.co.uk. For copyright reasons, we cannot play the songs mentioned in the show. But for more info and Business Brunch related content, head over to getradio.co.uk.
Get Radio's Business Brunch with Ben Thompson, sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network. The friendly, no-pressure networking group for Oxfordshire's business people. Discover our membership packages to help you grow your business at obcn.co.uk.
Good morning, this is Get Radio and welcome to the Business Brunch with me, Ben Thompson, owner of Thompson & Terry Recruitment. Every week during the show, I'm really fortunate to be able to talk to the best business people here in Oxfordshire and share their stories, their knowledge, their expertise, and hopefully add lots of value to you, the listener. And this week's going to be a special one. We're going to be talking about the art of business networking. And to do that, we're joined by about three of the most well-known and respected networkers in the land. They are Caroline O'Connor of Fourthborn and Open Doors, Richard Rosser of B4, and Pete Moles of Mastermind 9. This is the Business Brunch with me, Ben Thompson. I look forward to welcoming our three experts after this. Get Radio. Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. If you are just tuning in, today we're joined by three absolute experts, and we're going to be talking about the art of business networking. So let's start by introducing them, if you don't know them already. Let's go to Caroline first. Caroline, for those who don't know you, introduce yourself.
Good morning, Ben. Caroline O'Connor, and I am the founder and director of Fourthborn, which is my marketing consultancy. So by specialism, I am a strategic marketeer, but I also wear a second hat, which is I am the communications director for Open Doors, and we are a networking organisation across Oxfordshire, Gloucestershire and Buckinghamshire.
Exciting. Next up, Pete, introduce yourself.
Hey, Ben, good morning. Hey, folks, my name's Pete Moles. I am the founder of Mastermind 9. We provide business support, really, for small business owners by way of mastermind groups. So we bring small business owners together with various different skill sets, and they support each other on their growth journey. We kind of help them behave a little bit more like a grown-up business owner.
Amazing.
I guess for my sins, I was Networker of the Year in 2022, which I'm going to dine out on until 2032, to be honest.
You'll win it again before then, I'm sure. And last but certainly not least, Richard, for those who don't know you and B4, please introduce yourself.
Good morning, Ben. Morning, Pete and Caroline. Richard Ross, sir. So I run B4. This year, we're actually celebrating our 20th anniversary, which is I suppose some achievement. And hopefully, we're not finished yet. We run about 60 events every year. They can be a mixture of learning and development events. We've literally just come out of an ecosystem with Caroline, which is us. Which was on business development, which is great. So that happened earlier this week, I should say. And we run dinners, we run the Oxfordshire Business Summit, lunches, and we also launched Raise, which is an annual fundraising event.
Amazing, amazing. Lots to unpack. Richard, I'm going to pick on you first. I'm going to make you be the radio DJ for a second. What's your song and why have you picked it?
Well, my default is probably Don't You Forget About Me, which is by Simple Minds, for those of you old enough to remember it. I gave it a bit of thought. I do like Old England by the Waterboys. It's not often you listen to a song and even it might be a favourite song, but you've got no idea what the lyrics are. But I think the lyrics are quite relevant, especially now. And when you actually do look at the lyrics, I mean, the song was written, 20 odd years ago. They're as relevant now as they were back then. So well worth a listen.
Oxfordshire Station, Get Radio.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. I'm following that great song chosen by Richard and intros from Pete, Caroline and Richard. We are going to be talking all about the art of networking. So Caroline, I'm going to pick on you firstly with a big question. I bet you couldn't have predicted that. So what is the art of networking? Let's start with that one.
Oh, for me, I learned early on the art of networking is about listening. It's not about selling. It's about really actively listening and building relationships.
No, absolutely. And Pete, what's your take on this? And what are some of the early things that businesses should consider when starting their networking journey?
Oh, that's a great question. I think that networking is, if you're starting a business, networking is one of the most important things that you can do when you start a business, because the fact is, running a business is incredibly hard work and it's exceptionally lonely. And when you come out of the job that you've had for a long time and you've been surrounded by people, all of a sudden that doesn't exist anymore. And I think that there are so many great networking events that you can go to, and you just kind of need to get out there and find your tribe. I think that Caroline makes a great point that, you need to go there to listen, not to sell. It's a mistake that I think many small business owners make. If I was going to give people one tip, I would say it can be really lonely and quite isolating walking into a room for the first time. And I would encourage anyone who's going or thinking about going for the first time to research the room, research the regulars, and make a friend before you go, because it avoids you walking in. Once you've done that, once you've connected on LinkedIn or whatever you do, you find out the people in Caroline's network or Richard's network that are already in that circle, already in that community. If you go and make friends with Caroline or someone close to Caroline, you're walking into that room for the first time, knowing a player in the room, so to speak. So that would be the biggest piece of advice I'd give any new networker.
No, really, really good advice. And Richard, I think B4 has always had an amazing reputation over the last 20 years for your diversity of events, and whether that be, as you've said, an ecosystem or a big dinner. How have you built such diversity of events? And are there events that are better suited to certain businesses, or what? How do you balance that?
Just make it up as I go along, to be honest with you, Ben. As most people know me, that know me know, I'll have an idea. I've actually got people now to stop me having all of those ideas, but I think a lot of it is gut instinct. It's what feels right. You do experiment with certain things, and we've done that over the years. We've tried certain events which have fallen flat, and we've just, rather than just carrying on with them for the sake of it, we've dropped them. So I think it's listening to the members about what they want, and we've got into offering more similar to Pete, more smaller events for three, four, five, six people where they can strike up really valuable conversations. And then going back and sharing those big challenges. And I think going back to your question about networking, I referenced another brilliant business development ecosystem we had with Caroline recently. And food played a big part in that, in referencing your client, your types of client. And Caroline referred to cake clients, and I think networking is very much like building a cake. It's layer by layer. It's don't start with a base and think you're just going to get the cherry on top. It doesn't happen that way. You've got to take it slowly, listen, as Caroline said, and it doesn't matter who you're talking to. They'll have a network themselves as well, which you can potentially tap into. But you can't go in there and expect to go for the kill, go for the cherry straight away. It's got to be patient, and you're building layer by layer.
No, really, really, really good advice there. And Caroline, how do you select the network or networks that are right for you? And I'm sure Richard and Pete will give some good thoughts on that as well.
Interestingly, I had this exact conversation with a new business owner only a couple of weeks ago. And my advice is always go and visit them all. Walk into the room and see who's in the room. See how it feels. See how natural it feels for you. Some people like the very light touch, walk in, have a cup of coffee because they're really comfortable with just striking up a conversation. Other people need a little bit more structure around it. They may have a, depending on what your need is. Do you want to learn? Do you want to build relationships? Are you looking to broaden your network? Are you elevating into, a larger business model? Because you there and we are very, very lucky in Oxfordshire that we have a large variety of different networking organizations and events. And one size doesn't fit all. So choose, visit them all, see what works for you, but then commit to two, three. My strategy is always I love threes. So I've always had three networking organizations that I consistently show up in. And because I'm a strategist, they all have a strategic reason for me to do that. But the combination means that I broaden my connections, but I get different things from different networks. As I put it to this new business owner, don't be a networking butterfly. Like a social butterfly, if you dip in and dip out and you show up once, that is not going to help you build relationships. Consistency is key. So find the room that works for you and then commit to it. Show up, be consistent in how you show up, listen, contribute, you know, and so it, yeah, it's aligned with who are your clients, are your, and your clients don't need to be in the room because we know you don't sell in the room. At networking, it's about building relationships with the people that can refer you and connect you with your ideal clients. So don't judge the room to say, well, I don't want to be in that room because my clients aren't in the room. But it's probably a good thing they're not in the room because you don't want to sell to the room, would be my approach to how I would find my networking space.
What's your take on this, Pete?
I absolutely love what Caroline just said there, and I think it's so important. You can waste an inordinate amount of time networking for no result. Now, when you are a small startup business, the result that you're looking for, the goal that you might want to be achieved, is to just to find a bit of a tribe, not necessarily to sell to people, but to make some friends who are going through the same sort of thing. But there will always become a come a time, you know, Richard's way past that, Caroline and myself are way past it, but we all face, as are you, Ben, by the way, but we all faced a choice at some point where we went, I can't be everywhere. I need to go fishing in the right pond. Because if you've been regularly turning up in a place where the potential clients aren't there and the potential clients aren't there as a result of the people that are in the pond, it's the wrong pond and you've got to stop fishing there.
And what do you make of this, Richard? What's your take?
We've all known each other for quite some time, and we're, as Pete kindly put me first in that I've been there long enough list. We're big enough and ugly enough to know that we all do what we do reasonably well. And I think there probably are some business people out there that think that we're massive competitors. I mean, as I say, we've had Caroline in delivering another brilliant BDM ecosystem because she's brilliant at what she does. I had the awful admission that I made to Caroline, though, that Caroline's referred lots of people into me, but I've never referred them into Caroline. But I suppose getting Caroline in to deliver sessions is my way of getting her in front of B4 members. So hopefully I've sort of balanced that up. But
Yeah,
yes.
we're on equal par, Richard, don't worry.
You're keeping score, are you? Oh.
No.
I'm sure it's very much in your favor, but no, I very much agree. You got to find your tribe, as Pete says. Stick with it. Don't just flit in and flit out, because as much as people don't think they're known for doing that, they probably are, and we probably all got mechanisms in place to counter against that now. So stick with one, two, or three, as Caroline said.
What do you say,
Pete.
Pete?
I just wanted to pick up on that interaction there, which was hilarious. It's like, we're even, Richard, don't worry. And of course they're even, because you know they're long-term friends.
Can you
But
stop focusing on the long stuff, please? You feel old enough as it is.
sorry, mate.
You must have started when you were in primary school, Richard, if it's only been 20 years. Tough paper round.
There's this really important concept which comes from a bloke called Bob Berg. He wrote a book called The Go Giver, which is this concept of giver's gain. It's been adapted and taken on by by another networking community, a massive one called BNI. And some people love BNI and some people potentially don't, enjoy that so much. I think it can work really well for some people, and I've seen it not work so well for other people. But the point is, givers will always gain. And they're right to kind of take what Bob said and make it their own. Because, you know, what Caroline has been doing is dripping coins into Richard's emotional bank account for a period of time. Here, have a client, have a client, have a referral, have a referral. That is the best way to network. When you look to go into a room and go, how can I help first? How can I help? You might have to put more than one coin in. Sometimes you need to put 25 coins in, but at some point, it will always come back. I truly believe in, you know, in that methodology is the best methodology to network.
If you
And
ask
Pete,
Caroline, she'll know exactly how many coins as well, Pete.
you have to keep on top of stuff, Richard. But Pete, I think you're absolutely right. I've done networking for 25 years. I've built a business off the back of networking, and I've now bought into a business that allows me to finally take a salary and potentially some profit from doing what I love doing. But as an individual, as a business person, as an individual, I have one value: generosity of spirit. So in walking into any environment, in walking into any conversation, my objective is, what can I give? What can I create? And but I am in business, and I need to take a salary. So in my head, I'm collecting IOUs, because you give first, and by nature, if you're giving to the right people, they will generously give back. So yes, Richard, has me allows me to host, and it, to the outside world and other networking organizations, they go, hold on a minute, you're Open Doors and Richard's B4. What the hell are you doing in B4? We've collaborated for the last 15 years in Oxfordshire. We've already got a relationship, and there's no threat there, because actually we know that there will be business owners that are not right for our network, but will absolutely thrive in B4, the same as I refer them to other environments. And anybody who doesn't qualify for Open Doors, we actively give them a minimum of three other organisations to cut their teeth in networking, especially because we don't have businesses under 12 months old because of the structure that we have in Open Doors. But we actively put them in touch with all of the credible people that we know that are going to help them on that business journey. Because we have a moral responsibility to do that. We are a small, medium enterprise, and therefore, if we can't help those people on their journey, how are they going to survive and thrive? And we want everybody to thrive, because that then contributes to our beautiful business community. And I think, and having worked in other counties, Oxfordshire actually has a very, very unique business community. We are all extremely collaborative, where you don't find that in other regions. So I think we're very lucky, because we've all taken the time to get to know each other and understand each other's models, so that we can go, actually, we know we're right for you, but actually we're not right for you, but they are. Let me make the introduction. Let me gift you to the person that can help you thrive in your business.
No, really interesting points. Caroline, I think it's time for a song.
Ooh.
And you're gonna have a short straw next. Richard set a high bar. Can you match it?
So mine's a little bit more personal, and my default is Jamiroquai. I love him. He reminds me of my youth, and I was lucky enough to be bought tickets to his recent concert by my kids. And he played Cosmic Girl, and it just brought so many memories back of the 90s, and when I could let loose on the dance floor. I will still let loose on the dance floor, but yeah, Cosmic Girl by Jamiroquai.
Interviewing Oxfordshire's business leaders. This is the Business Brunch Podcast, sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network. Build relationships with the ultimate goal of growing your business. obcn.co.uk.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. As well as having a high bar for songs, Pete, I hope you're feeling a bit of pressure. We today are joined by three absolute superstars in the Oxfordshire networking scene, and we're going to be talking about the art of business networking. And to do that, we're joined by Caroline O'Connor of Fourthbourne and Open Doors, Richard Rosser of B4, and Pete Moles of Mastermind 9. Richard, I'm really keen to talk about credibility, if that's okay, because I think we've all seen the card spillers, or the networkers who probably through naivety, go and look at the list of members and aim for the biggest one they possibly can. How do you build credibility in networking? And what are some of the things to maybe think about?
As a networker, yeah.
Please.
Yeah. Well, it goes back to the listening point. Probably can't swear on the radio this early in the morning, especially on a Sunday. But no, don't tie yourself up in knots. Just be honest and open. Listen, question, talk about yourself if you're asked, but don't give any hype about yourself. You know, be quite downplay yourself. Be human. Be modest, and just be authentic. I think that's if you start tying yourself up in knots. And bragging and fabricating clients and name dropping, you'll get spotted a mile off, I think. So just listen, go in as if it's your first day in business. Don't be too naive, obviously, but just gain that trust. I think that's the key thing. What can you do to gain the trust? Which next time you see that person, you've got that step further to gaining more trust and potentially getting an introduction. And every person you meet is a potential introducer to their networks, and it multiplies and multiplies. So, yeah, keep it authentic, keep it clean, keep it honest, and keep it real, I suppose.
Oh, absolutely. Pete, talk to me about the outside the meeting. I appreciate it will depend on the networking group. You know, some have the expectation to have one-to-ones, some don't, but recommend them. What can you do outside the meeting? So I think right at the start of the show you spoke about making a friend before you attend, but you've been to the meeting. What's some ideas for follow-ups?
So that's where the fortune is, right? Fortune will always be in the follow-up. And look, I sit here today, stand here today. I've got a standing desk, but I stand here today feeling like a little bit of a fraud next to these two, to be honest.
Hey,
Once,
you're the one with the award, can I just say?
I mean,
Network of the Year.
yeah, that comes under bragging, I think, Caroline. I was just talking about.
I know the theory, but I think in practice my life has been really busy over the last few years, and I've not been. I'm going to tell you the theory, knowing full well that I'm not necessarily the best model of how to do it right now. Okay, so the theory is always that the fortune's in the follow-up, and you should, you meet someone for the first time. There are multiple different ways that you can pick up the baton and continue to build the relationship, because the ultimate goal is always to get to a point where they know you, they like you, and then they trust you, right? Know, like, trust. And they can't ever trust you until they know you and like you. So there's a really phenomenal book called Key Person of Influence by Daniel Priestley, who talks about the 7-11-4 7-11-4 rule, which I think is pertinent to your question. And he talks about for someone to get to a point where they'll buy something from you, they first need to be exposed to 7 hours of you. Now, Ben, that's really easy for you, right? Because they can listen to 7 hours of your radio show and feel like they really get to know you. But he says that 7 hours isn't enough. They could read your book and spend 7 hours on it. It's not enough. You need 11 separate interactions, which is where networking starts to play a part, right? 11 separate interactions, according to Daniel Priestley, is still not enough, because he says that you need four separate locations. Now, what that might look like is they turn up at Open Doors, and they turn up at B4, and they turn up on LinkedIn, and they listen to the podcast, and all of a sudden there's a whole bunch of things that comes back together to talk to this point that Richard was making about trust, right? When they've been and they've seen you in different places, you become credible by the association, by the people that you keep company with. So going back to your question, follow up, how do you do that? The easiest way, without a shadow of a doubt, is on LinkedIn. Hey, this is me at B4. Coming for the first time. It was great to meet at Richard Rosser, at Caroline O'Connor. Lovely to spend time talking to this person and this person. That's the easiest way to blow smoke in people's ass. They will respond. You can take it a step further and send a message. For example, lovely to meet you, Richard. Thanks so much for your time, your wisdom, blah, 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 blah. You could pick up the phone. You could send an email. You could do lots of different things. But I would always encourage people to start with LinkedIn because if you're serious about business and growing your business, that's probably the platform that you're looking to do it with. Hopefully that helps.
Really interesting. I'm certainly a fraud between the three of you, but I joined Open Doors 18 months ago, and I had 100 insights in my first year. And off the back of that, I didn't try and sell to anyone, but we've had a huge amount of business because I know X number of insights will equal business if you just have one-to-ones and meet people, which is probably the amateur way of doing it. But
Not at all,
Caroline,
Ben.
if we were to put your fourth born on hat here, I think that, the three of you are great on LinkedIn. But how strategic should you be with your networking? Should you have a marketing strategy? So some of the things that Pete was talking about there, and Pete, you may come back in, but should you have a marketing strategy around building your profile and your networking as well? How does that work?
Everything's got a strategy behind it in my world, Ben. And Pete's 7114 is music to my ears because it's the world I live in. We know that to build a relationship, to build rapport, to build trust, you need all of those different, I call them touch points, probably not PC any longer, but interactions as in humans, whether it be in person at the networking event itself, connecting on LinkedIn, following up for a coffee, having a meeting, walking through somebody's door and seeing their business, inviting them into a webinar or a way to experience you. Where the marketing element comes in is to build the credibility that Richard was talking about and combine it with the frequency that Pete's talking about. For me, it's about consistently showing up with a really, really clear message. Understand your proposition and not the physical service that you provide, but the value that you create. If you are able to convey that in a really succinct way, whether it be through LinkedIn, whether it be through the conversation at the event, whether it be through the coffee conversation, the consistency and the frequency combined creates the outcome. Because the minute, and we see this all the time, and it's one of the reasons we don't take businesses under 12 months old, because we know, because we've all started our own businesses, that first 12 months is about proving your proposition, proving proof of concept, refining who your ideal client is. After a year, you know that what's financially viable, you know the clarity, and you're able to convey it really clearly. So therefore, when you know when you're asking for the right introductions, when you're confirming your guaranteed value, and you can storytell about the value you add in every interaction. If you combine that by 7, 11, and 4, and that message is consistent all the way through, that person has got one singular message from you, and they're able to go and broadcast it for you. So I'm a collector of voices. I go to every networking event with one objective. Make three new contacts, speak to three people I've never spoken to before, probably speak to half a dozen people I do know, reinforce I'm still here, I'm still doing what I'm doing, and I'm doing well, but collect three new voices because they're connected to X amount of extra people that help me broadcast my message, but I have to be consistent with it. So credibility comes from frequency and consistency for me.
No, totally. Richard, I'm keen to go back to something Caroline said very early in the show and gain your thoughts in terms of the strength of Oxfordshire. Because I know at B4 you do a lot of great work in terms of going across sector and across industries and have that insight. How is Oxford unique? And how and where is the strength in the Oxford business economy?
Well, actually, it's a difficult question to answer without knowledge about every other county in depth. We did have a brief foray when we used to have the magazine, if you remember that far back, into Bucks and Berks. And just in a comparison to both of those counties, Berks has got a lot more of the larger businesses, which are just almost unreachable for the majority of SMEs, the likes of the Microsofts, etc. Bucks is a huge geographical area in comparison. So just using those two as sort of examples against Oxford, we're very lucky in Oxford. It's not the biggest county in the world. Everything's fairly reachable. There's an obvious centre, although most of us probably do our best not to go into the centre as much as we used to for one reason or another, mainly due to parking fines and congestion charges. But I think we're very lucky that everything's quite neatly set out in Oxfordshire. And there are so many opportunities, so many great networking events that you can go to. And going back to Pete's point, find your lane, find your tribe, and stick to it. But and I think people are generally very collaborative in Oxfordshire. We do a lot of work with charities, and I'm, you know, I'll, and I know Caroline sits on sits with Oxfordshire Youth, does a lot of work with them as well. They're great people, and charities get a real bad press from a lot of people that just don't know how bloody hard they work and have to work to keep the charities going without any serious funding or as much as they should get. And it's brilliant to bring them into B4. And we only at Caroline's recent BDM had one of the charities talking about how they're collaborating with other charities. And if they can't help someone, there's another three or four other charities that can help you. And I think that's brilliant. And I don't hear that sort of thing, collaboration going to the extent that that we have it in Oxfordshire. As I say, I don't know every other county, but God, what a rambling, inarticulate answer that was. Hopefully, you could
It's a
take
brilliant one.
something out of that.
No.
Richard, I was following you completely because we are probably as aligned as you are. I think people do give charities a bad rep with, their from a business perspective. I think a lot of business owners go, all charities are just going to ask for money. I view charities in a completely different way. Charities are probably the most phenomenally well-connected people in our county. And it's that ecosystem of we need to support them, we need to help them, they need funding, but they also need expertise and talent. And as in the format that you do raise, which is phenomenal, you're bringing not only charities together, but you're bringing the business and charity community together. In Open Doors, we do it a slightly different way. We will have a charity partner for every single one of our groups so that the group will raise funds for them, but also they will impart that business and expertise and connections. So we're doing exactly the same thing, just in a slightly different format. But we've both, through experience, we're 15 this year, you're 20 years this year, we've learned that actually to make our Oxfordshire business community work, that involves our charity partners because they are a phenomenal part of that ecosystem.
It's about having a space for everyone, isn't it? And it's about growing together and supporting each other and making sure that everybody wins. Pete, I am going to come to you with the final song choice. There's a very high bar. Can you match it? There is a very high bar. Well, look, it's springtime, right? The sun is shining in my window. There are flowers in the flower beds. And for me, there's one song above all that reminds me of summer. And it's a song that is very close to our business's heart. And it's a song called Jerusalemma by Master KG and Nomcebo Kikode. And it's just the most glorious. It's like a South African
Great
choral
song.
song. And it just makes me smile. It makes me think of summer. It's got an amazing beat and it went absolutely nuts during COVID and just brought people together. And yeah, so that's the song for me.
This is the Business Brunch podcast from Get Radio, sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network. Discover our membership packages to help you grow your business at obcn.co.uk.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. Again, another good song choice. We're talking with our three experts, all about the world of networking. The three of you have been so kind, spending your time and giving a contribution, and I'm sure anyone listening at home would be enthused by your organisation. So, my words as opposed to yours, but I'd really love if you guys could just individually, if somebody would like to know more about, and I'll start with you, Pete, Mastermind Nine. What do they need to do? Who could it be right for?
So that's a great question. I think it's worth saying that we are not networking. So for the last for 7 years, I ran a networking group called Networking In, and we decided after 7 years to knock that one on the head last year to focus specifically on Mastermind Nine and the growth of Mastermind groups. Because as these guys will tell you, running a networking group and trying to bring people together is an absolutely incredibly difficult thing. And I doff, you know, Richard, 20 years in, can we just doff our caps to the fact that it is not easy? And it, you know, so many companies come and go, and but you know, Richard and B4 to be leading the light in Oxfordshire for 20 years, it's phenomenal. I couldn't do it. So we focus at one end, you've got networking, at the other end, you've got business coaching, right? Mastermind groups form bring a place much more close to business coaching than networking. It is kind of a group of people, but it's much more about problem solving. It's about helping each other. It's about support. It's about accountability. We enforce all of our clients to spend a quarter, half a day per quarter in business planning. So they're thinking about the strategy and growth, and they're setting goals and creating a plan, which is something that most small business owners don't do. They come out of corporate and they lose all of the good habits that they had in corporate and then realize why it's hard. So we get them to do that. It's half a day a month of business support where they come together in their group, and then it's 20 minutes a week of accountability. And we find that to be a really, really effective model at helping business owners who are growth focused to grow. Our clients are, we've got a startup group, so kind of sub 50K. The majority of our clients are 50K to 350, and then we've got an elite group, which is 350K and up. And if they're interested in any way, they can check out Mastermind 9, or they can go to their favorite AI and go, I'm a small business owner. Which mastermind group should I join? And they'll probably, irrelevant of the AI that they choose, find Mastermind 9 as a selected option,
Oh,
which
well
I'm
done,
quite proud
Pete.
of. Or they can connect with me on LinkedIn, Peter Moles.
Amazing.
Thank you,
And
Ben.
Richard, for those who would love to get involved in B4, who's it right for and who can how do they get involved?
Well, just quick thanks to Pete. That's very kind of you, Pete. And just say you won't find two more passionate people about what they do. So if you think Pete is right for you or Caroline, and I strongly suggest you get in contact with both to find out a bit more about their respective organizations, you'd be in very safe hands if you're a good fit for either or both organizations. In terms of B4, get in touch. I mean, if you would like to come to a B4 event, as Caroline said, I think earlier, come along and see if we're right for you. We'll have a conversation before that, and then I can give you an idea as to whether I think you're right for B4 and whether we're going to deliver what you want. We're not a join and get a load of business. We always say that, and a lot of people go, that's the kiss of death. But it's the right thing, I think, to do is to tell people, don't join people just to get in contact with Blenheim Palace or Unipart, because that's a quick way to get their business. Going back to the trust thing, that takes a long time to earn that. Come along, enjoy one of our events, and then see if you're right for us.
Amazing. And last but not
Sorry,
least,
if we're right for you. Sorry, I meant to say the wrong way around.
absolutely. And Caroline, last but not least, how can somebody get involved in Open Doors, and who's it right for?
The only way you can really experience Open Doors to make an informed decision is to come along as a guest. So we have two meetings a month, and one of them is always a guest meeting. And you can either get invited along by one of our members, or you can go to our website and you can pick which group you would like to visit. And Kathy, Kate, or I will pick up the phone and have a quick conversation and invite you along as our personal guests. Who's it right for? Interestingly, we sit really comfortably smack bang in the middle between Richard and Pete. We are a structured networking. We are, and what we have found more and more over the 15 years is that as much as it's about making connections, it's always been focused on building relationships. And relationships are built in a number of different ways. Frequency is key. We have two meetings a month. It is a 12-month membership with us. We are a membership, like Richard. We have built in peer learning. shared experience and support. So the structure in our meeting, we hold CPDs, but nowhere at the level that the mastermind that Pete offers. But they are presented by our members, so it's the shared expertise in the room. We have 12 groups across the three counties at the moment because we limit our groups to 20, and that is to create a small and relationship environment. But you can visit the other groups. And we are really designed for the businesses when they're at their scaling stage. They need people around them that are experienced in business as well. Hence, you need to be in business 12 months. If you are coming out of corporate and changing sector completely, we actually say 2 years because you're actually having to learn your sector as well as develop your proof of concept. And that is because we want to enable people. We are an investment, and we want to make sure that people get return on that investment, whether that be through personal confidence, professional experience, or business. Business for us comes absolutely last, and absolutely like Richard. As in with any networking, we are a slow burn. You've got to build the relationships, you've got to build the trust first, before you can expect opportunities and business to come through. We are happy to invite anybody along to experience us, to make that informed decision when they're exploring where their tribe is, where they feel most comfortable. But
Amazing.
we're a great combination. We work with, and my personal recommendation would always be working threes. So my personal experience, I've been a member of Open Doors for 14 years before I brought in as a director, but I have always done Business Buzz as well, which is that light touch frequency non-membership environment. But Lisa and the team have got 8 across this county, and they're phenomenally supportive for solo entrepreneurs and SME businesses. And that's my space now where I go to give back a bit. And then I have been a member of B4, I wouldn't even like to now say, Richard, how many years, but probably just as many years as I've
You're
been
not
in
keeping
Open
count.
Doors.
Disappointing you're not keeping count, Caroline.
Not like me not to keep count, but I have always used B4 for my professional credibility. Richard has
Amazing.
phenomenally well-connected, large, established businesses that have the good of this county at their forefront. And it, for me professionally, it enables me to hang out with people that I go, I aspire to be in your world. So B4 has always been that environment for me, but the combination of the three feeds my business and it supports my professional reputation. So
Amazing.
yeah.
Perfect. Perfect. Guys, I'm gutted to say it's the end of the show, but thank you so much to the three of you for your time, your contribution to this discussion, and being so kind and generous with your advice to our listeners. If you are just tuning in, I think my lasting tip would be to go and follow these three individuals and their businesses on the socials. So we've had, as a reminder, Caroline O'Connor of Fourth Born and Open Doors, Richard Rosser of B4, and Pete Moles of Mastermind 9. Three wonderful organizations doing some really, really great work. Just a reminder, you can listen to this radio show every Sunday on the radio or online at 11 a.m. If you prefer podcasts, you can listen to this on every major podcast platform, wherever you get your podcast from. And that's released on the Monday morning. And if you prefer to look at my lovely, lovely guests, who don't look like they've been in business for 20 years, then you can have a look at the video version, which goes out on the Get Radio Facebook page and their website every Tuesday. But for now, whatever you're doing in Oxfordshire, enjoy, and we'll see you next week.